This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Welcome back to another episode of Tell Me Sis podcast, featuring your two favorite sisters,
Alex
and Kyla.
Hi everyone, happy Friday.
Happy Friday, my favorite day of the week.
I hope your week went well.
Actually, not my favorite day of the week anymore.
What's your favorite day now?
I think Wednesdays, because now I work like every day, pretty much.
Even on weekends?
Yeah.
That's not fun.
But like my schedule is also like on my terms.
Right.
So I don't need to be like, you know, 9 to 5 every single day of the week.
I think my favorite day is Thursday because I love Fridays.
Yeah.
But it's like the anticipation.
Yeah.
It's kind of like Christmas Eve. I like Christmas Eve better than Christmas Day because it's the anticipation. I know what you mean,
because it's exciting. And on Christmas Day, it's really fun when you wake up in the morning and then you have dinner at night with your family, but then it's like done. You know, yeah. It's done.
Yeah.
Today's the day. Tomorrow is no longer like the buildup.
Exactly. So I always like the anticipation day, and I just think in my head like Thursday is so exciting because especially now that the weather, I mean, it's still cold, but like the sun is setting later and later and it's rising earlier.
Yeah.
It makes me excited because I'm like, oh, okay, today's like the last real day, even though I work on Fridays. It's like, okay, we finish Friday and then it's...
Yeah, because you take weekends off.
Yeah, and I only work till 5 p.m. Like, I'm very strict on that.
Cause like, do 9 to 5?
Yeah, because I used to do what you're doing
for
years and I had an insane burnout.
Yeah.
So I was like, I have to be strict with this because I just can't live like that anymore. Like, after doing it for years.
Yeah, plus you have a kid now.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. And also, like, with all his activities and stuff, it's just easier to schedule my day of, like, 9 to 5. There are certain days where I don't work, like during the week, but it's like I'm on mom duty that day.
Okay.
So I'm like still working, but just as a mom versus my job. So I don't really have days off. Like Dan and I were talking about it. I'm like, even though we'll have days of like no work, which we're very grateful for, we're still watching a toddler. So like, and we switch off. So if I'm not working and I'm watching Arky, then Dan is doing something, like either working on the basement or something else.
Yeah.
So I'm like, we really don't have like days off unless we get a babysitter. And then, I mean, that was our own decision with not sending him to daycare, but when he starts school, we're gonna have a newborn baby.
That's so exciting though, when he goes to school.
I know, I'm so excited.
When does he start? September?
Yeah, he's gonna do next year because you can't do preschool until you're 4.
Okay.
So he's not 4 yet, so he's not eligible, but he's ready. Like when we went for the tours, he just walked right into that classroom with those kids and started playing with them. And like,
he's very social.
Yeah, he's super, super social, but he has a bit of like a shyness to him initially with certain people.
Mm-hmm.
Because other people, he will, like, just go up to them and be like, hi. Yeah. Like, if Ariel comes to my house.
He's comfortable with Ariel, though.
Yeah, but he's only seen her, like, 4 times.
Oh.
So, like, Stacy, the girl who, like, cuts my hair.
Yeah.
Like, he loves her because he sees her all the time because she cuts his hair. But Ariel, like, it's very rare that he'll see her because I don't get my hair colored that often.
Okay.
So, when she came over, I was like, I don't know if he's going to remember her because I hadn't seen her. Like, he hadn't seen her for a year. And so he just walked up to her and he was like, hi.
I guess kids sometimes, well, I guess it depends on your mood too. Because, like, sometimes for me, I'm very, like, social. I feel fine. Yeah. And then there's times I'm in a mood and I'm kind of, like, shy.
He actually reminds me a lot of you in a lot of ways.
Me too.
There's certain tendencies he does. I'm like, that's literally Kyla.
I know. Me too.
Especially at that age.
I know. I've always thought that.
There's like certain things I'm like, yeah. Which is good because I feel like you've always had a strong head on your shoulders, but we're very kind-hearted.
Yeah. Like, I know what you mean. I've seen it too. And I've always, I mean, I think I've said it to you guys too a few times where I'm like, he really, like, even when he sometimes stares, like you'll talk to him and he's like staring at you and you know that he's thinking something, like judging.
You know, do you want to know what he said to me yesterday?
What
was it yesterday? Whatever the day was that I was getting my hair done, I didn't have my glasses on. And every time I have my glasses on, he's or every time I don't have them on, he asks like where they are because he's so used to seeing me with my glasses. And so he's like, "Mommy, where are your glasses?" I'm like, "Oh, I can't put them on right now because she's dyeing my hair." And so he's like, "Okay." And then later on that night, we're just snuggling on the couch and he looks at me and goes, "Mommy, why when you take your glasses off, your face looks weird?"
I know what he means. It's like not saying I'm agreeing with him. I'm saying I know what he means, like, because when you're so used to seeing someone with glasses,
yeah,
when they take it off, it feels like there's something missing.
Well, it's like if someone were to always have a mustache or a beard and then they were to shave it, you'd be like, "Whoa, yeah, no, it changes your face." But I was dying.
He just used the wrong word.
I was dying because I was like, I just got humbled by my child. Like, why?
No, I feel weird. Like he meant that, like, he's just so used to seeing you with glasses. Because even for me, when you take your glasses off around me, I don't think you look weird.
It just looks different.
He's like 3 and a half.
I know. So, you know. Well, his whole life, right?
Yeah. So, like, you know, it's like looking at a different person almost.
It's like if Dan were to shave his goatee, he'd be like...
But you're lucky that you have a face that looks really good with glasses. I feel for me, when I wear glasses, I don't think I look bad. But maybe it's the exact same thing that we're talking about right now. I'm so used to seeing my face with no glasses on that when I do put glasses on, I really look like a different person, I find. And I also feel like a different person.
You know those people that look really hot with glasses and without glasses?
Yeah.
And you're like, how? Like Jude Law in The Holiday when he puts his glasses on? You're like, okay, you're even hotter now.
I know.
Like, how is that a thing?
I actually need to get my eyes checked because my vision has been like...
Pretty bad?
Like, pretty bad.
Wait, don't you have glasses?
I do, but they're not good anymore. I need to get my eyes checked again. Okay. And I need to go see an eye doctor. And finally, I'm on insurance now, so...
Go to Gratian Scaff. I just went, like, last week.
You could just, like, book an appointment.
Yeah, so what they do is they'll do, like, the full eye exam. Like, they're not an eye doctor. Like, they're not an optometrist or whatever.
Okay.
Or ophthalmologist, whatever. Whatever the one that's like under the doctor, okay?
Okay.
So the step below, they do all the tests that like a nurse would do, let's say if you're going to a doctor's office.
Okay.
They do like the pressure in the eye, they make you do all those eye tests, and then they do the thing where they look in your eye and they see the distance, and then they try to check your proper prescription and astigmatism, all that. And they do like the little x-ray thing where they could see like the cornea. And then based off that, they see... The girl was telling me if they see anything, then they'll send your file to an actual eye doctor and then you go see them.
What if I don't, because I don't remember who I went to who like checked my eyes to give me a proper prescription.
If you go to Gratian Scaff or Lens Crafters, if you've never been to either, they'll just open a file for you. And then it'll be a proper prescription.
And then they just send it to any doctor?
Yeah, well, I think they have like a specific doctor that they'll either like work for or something. But that way you don't have to schedule something like downtown and go all the way there.
That's good to know because I was like, how do I even go about this whole process? No,
you literally just do that first step. And then if they... Because realistically, you don't need to see an eye doctor unless there is like an issue, right?
Yeah, which I actually do have an issue with my eye. So...
Well, then maybe you should just... go straight to the eye doctor.
Or I want to get my prescription. Well, so here's the thing, this was like back in 2017. I started noticing in my left eye it was getting red, and there was like something going over like the color of my eye.
Oh, like it started red on your white and then it was going over the color.
And so I went to see my eye doctor at the time. I don't even remember who this was, and they told me, so I was like, can I get eye drops? Like, I'm using Visine and it's not really going away. And they were like, oh no, you have to get this like surgically removed.
Oh,
and I was like, wait, what? So that's when I found out that like what a pterygium was.
Right.
Basically a pterygium is like, it's not cataracts, but it's similar to.
It's a growth.
Where it's like a layer of skin that starts growing over like from like inside the corner of your eye, and it could keep growing over the color. And if you don't do anything about it, you could like, it'll grow over your cornea. Is that what it's called? Where you like the dot?
The cornea is inside.
Anyways, it grows over so you won't be able to see eventually. So you have to get it removed. And so remember when I got that eye operation a few years back? So I got it done in my left eye. And the way I was able to even get my foot in the door to get this procedure done, now they don't call it a surgery. It's just a procedure because they don't actually like, cut into your eye. They just remove the layer and then they like, you know.
Yeah.
Which was actually, should I tell that story of like my experience?
I don't even remember.
It wasn't bad. But anyway, so I got it done on my left eye, and how I was able to get my foot in the door with that doctor, he's like, supposedly the best eye surgeon in Montreal.
Okay.
His name is Dr. Darvish. It's because Mama, her friend's son.
Oh, I know this. Yeah, he knows the LASIK.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he knows him. So she was able to get my foot in the door with him because normally you would be like waiting years.
Yeah.
Whereas I just had to wait like a couple of months. And
but you have another one growing on your other eyes.
Yeah. That's so normal? He also told me when I was initially getting checked for my left eye before I even had the procedure done, he's like, you also have it a little bit on your right eye. He's like, you have to get like special eye drops that it doesn't take away the redness. But it's like a really thick like gel, because the reason why it gets so red is when you're dehydrated, if you don't get enough sleep,
stress.
If you drink.
Yeah.
Maybe stress. Not really. I don't remember him saying stress was a factor. And the way that you get a pterygium in the first place is if there's like too much UV rays going into your eye. Because remember, I never used to wear sunglasses.
Yeah.
So he was like, just wear sunglasses as much as possible. And anyways, so I got it removed on my left eye, and then now I have to do it eventually on my right eye. But because I know like the steps I have to take to prevent it from getting so bad, because remember my left eye was so much worse.
To be honest, Kyla, I don't notice it. So I know because it's on yourself, you see it.
No, I've had people say like your eye is really red.
Well, the redness, but like a growth going over your eye, like the color, I've never noticed
one,
that.
This one's not that bad, but the one on the left was actually, it was getting to a point where it was like,
I don't really remember.
It was covering like 1/8 of my eye, I would say.
Oh my God.
So,
you know what it kind of looks like? It looks like where the redness is, it looks like if you've been swimming in chlorine a little bit too long.
Yeah, exactly. And that's kind of what it feels like. You know when your eye gets a little irritated from chlorine?
Oh, and you have that constantly?
I don't have it constantly. It's mainly when I'm really dehydrated.
Okay.
Or if it's like really dry out.
Right.
So it's always worse in the winter, but there's some mornings I wake up, like the photo shoot we did the other day, and I was like, it's so red. But anyways, I need to like make an appointment with him because I do want to like get it checked and like, you know, get eye drops, because he doesn't want to remove it until it's actually like
bad.
Not until it's like bad, but it's more as of right now is not really like making you too uncomfortable. It's not like affecting your appearance, but it kind of is. Because it's like red all the time.
I think they don't like to do procedures or surgeries or anything unless it's actually impacting your quality of life. Or unless it's like hazardous to your health.
Yeah, exactly.
But if it's like an aesthetic reason and it's not even that bad in like their eyes.
Yeah, you know, but I think that when I make the appointment, I'm going to say that like, listen, it's red all the time. And a huge part of my job is being in front of a camera. And like I try to drink as much water as possible. I wear sunglasses and everything. But like I just really want to get this removed.
But even if it's going to take years to see him, maybe by then he'll actually just remove it.
It won't take years to see him. I just have to reach out to him, say that I'm already a patient of his. Like,
Okay.
He already did the procedure on me. And then in the meantime, like, I'll go for the appointment. He'll check it. He'll give me those eye drops, which actually help a lot because it hydrates your eyes.
And you can't just get those, like, normally?
No, it's not. You can't get them over the counter.
Okay.
So anyways, the medical term for it is pterygium, but they also call it surfer's eye because a lot of surfers get it from... while they're surfing and they're not wearing sunglasses.
Whoa.
Yeah, so it's actually very common. The day I went in for my procedure, it was the first time I had ever heard of this. Right. I don't know anyone who has it. But I was like his 10th patient that day.
Whoa.
So a lot of people get it.
Probably a lot of skiers. No, mind you, they're wearing goggles.
But the procedure itself, I was so nervous leading up to it because they don't put you under. You have to be awake.
Yeah, it's an eye thing.
But that freaks me out. And so they roll me into the operating room and it's like this big white room. You hear like the beep, beep. And
it's like you're an alien.
And it was really cold.
Yeah.
And they weren't initially giving me anything for my anxiety. And I was like, please, please, please. I need it. I need something for my anxiety. And I really felt like I was going to have a panic attack. Yeah. And like, imagine having a panic attack when you're in the middle of getting this procedure done on your eye. So like you can't just get up and leave.
You have like literally a clamp in your eyeball.
Yeah. So the nurses come, they like roll me in really quickly. I hear that noise and I like kind of start crying. And so like the nurses were so good. They were like calming me down, like telling me they loved my nails and everything. Ugh.
and angels.
And they ended up giving me something for my anxiety. It was like a really, really, really small amount. I felt like it barely did anything, but at the same time, in hindsight, I think it helped tremendously. Yeah. And like the way he goes about it is he just like goes for it. Like there's no waiting time or explaining anything. Like he puts this like black tube that blows out air like right in front of your face, covers you with a sheet, and that tube is like preventing the sheet from like suffocating you. There's like a little slit in the sheet. They like put it like against your eye. They put a clamp in your eye. He puts numbing drops in your eye right away.
It's the same thing as LASIK surgery.
These numbing drops are so intense. And then he puts in eye drops that completely blur your vision.
Oh my God.
And then it was just like he started going for it and I didn't feel a thing. There was one point I felt a little bit of pressure and I told him and like he stopped right away. And then also he had, I think the worst part about it was that he had a student, like a medical student. So he was like walking her through the steps. And I remember him at one point saying, "You see how clean the removal of the skin is? It's because she's young." And I was like, "Oh," freaked me out. Anyways, it was probably like 30 to 45 minutes, and then it was done. But the recovery was annoying. So like,
are you sure it was that long?
Yeah.
Why was it so long?
That's actually short. I thought it was going to be longer.
My cesarean was 20 minutes in and out.
Really?
And they cut open my whole stomach and took a baby out.
I guess it's different with your eye.
Oh, maybe they have to be more delicate?
Yeah. Because they remove that extra skin layer, but then they need to take another layer of skin, like kind of, like not in the back of your eye, but like just on the side.
Oh, I'm getting the heebie-jeebies.
So they put it over where they removed the pterygium, and then they do these like stitches, but like it didn't look like there were stitches in my eye.
Right.
I don't know like what
I'm getting nauseous. Use. I'm not going
to
lie.
And you don't need to remove it. It just like comes out on its own. But the recovery process was annoying because I had to do like, it was like I had 3 different eye drops that I had to apply at different times of the day for like 3 months. I also had to wear an eye patch for a week afterwards. So I looked like, I looked like a pirate.
Why don't I remember this? I remember you coming out of the surgery. I don't remember the eye patch.
I don't know. But yeah, so I have to get it done on my other eye. I'm not as nervous this time.
At least
time,
you know what to expect now.
Yeah, now I'm not as nervous. Like I'm definitely still gonna have to take something for my anxiety, just because it's the thought of someone going in my eye and I can't move. Mm-hmm. Like I'm so out of control in that situation.
Would you take something for anxiety if they had to like remove a tooth? Like a dentist?
Maybe. I don't know. Probably not.
So it's just the eye that freaks you out. It's not like the sitting there still as they do a procedure.
Yeah.
Okay.
I've had blood tests done before where I felt like I needed to take something for anxiety, but I didn't.
Yeah.
But I really felt like I needed to because that freaked me out.
It's actually a lot more common than you think. Like, I feel like I'm the odd one out for not ever needing that kind of stuff for like procedures or surgeries. Like, even when I had my surgery like in my uterus.
Oh, really?
Like, I didn't even want to take the pain meds. I was like, just do it without any medication until like absolutely necessary.
Yeah, but I guess maybe when it comes to like pregnancy and stuff like that, like you don't want
to. No, even like with the dentist and stuff, when I've had to get cavities or like my wisdom teeth, I got 2 removed. I don't want to be put under or anything.
That's so funny because you're a very anxious person.
Yeah, but not with that stuff for some reason.
Interesting.
Not with like that
it's,
kind
like,
of
particular
stuff.
What you have anxiety
when
about.
I know something's going to happen to me and I'm able to like prepare. See it and prepare. There's literally zero anxiety. It's when something happens to me out of the blue, like I stub my toe or I fall down the stairs. That's like when I'm dramatic because I like wasn't expecting it. And I'm like, now I don't understand this level of pain. But like I can get a full on surgery. Like he was cutting me and like I didn't take the fentanyl till literally the end when it was like unbearable.
Okay.
But they were like, why don't you just take it? And I'm like, because I would rather just not have drugs.
Yeah.
Because I told when I got high from that, like, because obviously they give you like a proper dose.
Yeah.
So I like wasn't feeling the pain, but I got high and Dan was in the room. And afterwards he told me, because I don't remember saying this, but he was like, I looked at the surgeon and I was like, this is exactly why I don't do drugs, because I love this feeling.
And he was like, oh, because you're scared you're going to get addicted?
Yeah, because I have such an addictive personality. Like, I just know myself. I'm like, if I ever were to experiment with any drugs of that kind of like level.
It's so good that you know that about yourself, so you just stay away from it.
Well, I mean, look at me with freaking sugar, how hard it is for me. I can't, like, it's so hard to cut sugar.
Yeah, but I mean, like, okay, sugar's not good for you, like an excessive amount of sugar, but like drugs is 10 times worse.
Yeah, no, it is, but I'm just saying that like when I like something,
like, you become very obsessive.
Yes, like I have to, when I get my like anti-anxiety medication, I have to put it away, and I'm like, that's for like, oh, okay, literally, yeah, only if I'm like, well, I don't really have anxiety with flying anymore, but like back in the day it was like, yeah, for flights, or if like, you know, when RQ was in the hospital or something, like, and my anxiety was out of control, like situations like that. It wouldn't just be like a day-to-day, I'm having bad anxiety today, I'm gonna take my medication. It's okay, like, yeah, I don't know why in my head I'm like, I don't want to get addicted.
No, that's good, it's smart.
Yeah, even though if there's certain things
that, also, like, the medication that's prescribed to you for like anxiety, depression, ADD, all those things, it's really just like a band-aid. It's not actually like solving the issue. Yeah,
well, that's what my doctor told me.
So like, imagine getting addicted to something, and this happens all the time, to something that's not even fixing you.
I know. Oh, see, also just having, like, it was the same thing with this pregnancy when they prescribed me the Diclectin for the nausea.
Yeah.
Just having it in my purse was like good enough for me.
Yeah.
It was like, okay, well, I have it just in case I need it,
mm-hmm,
but I don't want to take it. Even though, like, I know taking it is harmless and it will probably do me good because I was dealing with such bad nausea.
It's good you're like this.
But I was like, you know what? It's in my purse. It's peace of mind. I only took it for our flights. And then I learned afterwards from our cousin that it actually takes a while for it to build up in your system to actually work. So me just taking it one time for a flight really didn't do anything.
Oh shit.
So I was like, oh, that was totally placebo in my head.
Yeah,
you know, like, it's crazy,
bro, the power of our minds.
I know, it's actually, well, I mean, we talk about this all the time, how we're literally able, unless we actually have like the stomach flu, but we're able to like stop ourselves from throwing up when we're super nauseous. Like, some people just puke because they're nauseous,
and
we're,
yeah, like, I remember, I mean, there's just been so many times, like my first ever panic attack, remember, I threw up.
Yeah,
but I was like holding it back for hours. But like, you know, over the years, I've gone through periods of extreme stress and anxiety to the point where I was losing so much hair.
Yeah,
I broke out in body hives all over my, just like my skin overall. It's not that I had a bunch of acne, but it just looked like
lumpy, bumpy,
not even like patchy and dry and just like
not healthy,
no life to it. And like the bags under my eyes were insane. What else? I was experiencing like extreme back pain and like tightness of my shoulders and neck.
Wait, you don't experience any of this anymore?
No, not at all.
I was gonna say, you don't look like that at all.
My periods were like so weird and irregular.
Yeah, that's man, it's crazy what stress does to you.
I know, it's actually insane. Okay, granted, I was extremely, because I ended up going to get a blood test.
Yeah,
because I went to my doctor.
And, oh yeah, like, we spoke about this in an episode.
Yeah, and then I was extremely low in iron. Now I got a blood test again recently, and like everything's back to normal. Yeah.
Good for you.
But yeah, no, like the effects that stress and anxiety will have on your body, it literally makes you feel like you physically ill.
Well, it does make you physically ill.
Yeah.
And that's why I know this is like, I hate this when people are like, if you actually have a disease and people are like, well, just think about not having the disease and it'll go away. Like, that's not, I don't believe in that. Mm-hmm. But I believe that your brain has so much power over your body in so many ways.
Yeah.
And wait, what? Okay. I was gonna segue this into my pregnancy, because yeah, we have not talked about this on the podcast, and I actually just filmed a first trimester like recap for my YouTube channel. So like, if you want to know all the details of that, you can go watch that video. It's literally coming out the same day this podcast is coming out. But yeah, I had a really, really rough first trimester, and I told you, mom and dad, quite early in my pregnancy because of like all the spotting and stuff I was dealing with, and like, yeah, the anxiety I was having, and
you had been extremely nauseous. And so you got that anti-nausea medication for the flight.
Mm-hmm.
We went to LA, and then like that whole, well, at the beginning of our LA trip was really scary for you.
Yeah. Yeah, because I was spotting. Well, okay, here's the thing, and I spoke about this in the YouTube videos. I would have spotting on and off, and I never had that with Arky. And where we live in Montreal, at least my OB, like, we don't see her until 10 weeks.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I have a GP who I would call. I'd be like, I'm spotting again. And he's like, listen, like, at this point in pregnancy, like, there's nothing anyone could do.
Yeah.
Like, if you're going to have, I'm gonna, just trigger warning here, guys, when we talk about miscarriage. But he's like, if you're going to have a miscarriage, you're going to have, like, there's nothing that we could do. Just keep an eye on it. If it gets really heavy with, like, clots and you're having, like, cramping, go to the ER.
Okay, yeah.
Like, that's, like, that's the only thing. And I was like, okay, well, what the hell? So, anyways, we're in LA and the spotting came back. And so I was, like, all stressed. I hadn't even seen the baby. I never had an ultrasound. Like, I didn't know anything. So we went. We should tell that story.
Oh, it was the most scary thing for me and my... Okay. So my sister books an appointment to get an ultrasound in LA.
Guys, by the way, $60 for a private ultrasound. Like, what? That's so worth it to me.
I know. So we get in the Uber. We get to this place. And we're there, like, what, an hour before it opens?
No, not an hour. We're there like 20 minutes before.
Okay, felt like an hour.
Yeah, it felt like forever.
So the door is locked and it's two stories and there's like a bunch of shops on the bottom, like a flower shop. There's like a dentist office. So we show up and we see that there's an elevator. We open the elevator and it's a homeless person standing in there. And so instantly my sister was like, okay, let's figure out another way to go up, because she's like, he's been in this elevator. Like, I think he's, like, living in here.
But there was also, like, dirty, like, needles on the ground.
Yeah, there was dirty needles on the ground. There was also, like, shit on the ground and barf.
It was really sad.
It smelled really bad. So then we find this, like, staircase and we go up and we try opening the door for the ultrasound place. And it's still locked. And I think at this point it was, like, right about to open. But, like, no one was there. So we're like, okay, we'll just wait. So we want to go back down the staircase, which was like you had to open up a door and like it was, there was like walls on each side. It was like you're inside going down a staircase. We open up the door and there's another homeless woman, but she is like on something. She's screaming.
I know.
She just seems completely out of it. And so me and my sister are like, hey, no, we're not going down there. So in between the staircase and the elevator on the second floor, we're pretty much cornered by these two homeless people, because then the homeless woman who's screaming, like, it was scary.
Yeah, it's honestly very sad. Like, it makes me sad to think about it, but in the moment we are very scared.
I was actually terrified.
Yeah.
And also, not only that, like, you're pregnant, so in my head I'm thinking, like, what do I do if, like, these people, like, are armed with something, or, like, we have to protect ourselves. Like, my sister's pregnant. Like, I don't know what we would do.
We were, like, technically this mall thing was outside. So even though we were on the second story, we were outside and we could see the street. So I was like, worst case scenario, I'll just scream at the people walking on the street, like, help, you know?
Yeah, exactly. It's just, like, even at that, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So the homeless woman, like, we hear her, she's coming up the staircase screaming at the top of her lungs. So my sister and I start walking towards the elevator. We're like, hopefully the guy is gone. As we're walking,
hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Towards the elevator, the homeless guy comes out. So then we kind of stop and hesitate, and then we like go in like another direction, but like there's barely anywhere to go besides like behind the elevator, but then we're really secluded. And the homeless woman is coming closer to us and she's screaming. She ends up just like walking by us, and then the other homeless guy could clearly see that we're scared. And so he starts taunting us and laughing.
Yeah.
And so we start walking in the other direction towards the staircase now because the woman's gone. And he's like, what was he saying to us?
I don't remember.
He was like screaming something at us and laughing at us. So we go down the staircase and we're at the bottom floor and I'm like, oh my God. We go into this flower shop. We're just waiting and like pretending to like buy flowers because we were so scared. And then you saw the woman,
the nurse,
for like the ultrasound, and you knew that it was her because of the outfit she was wearing.
Yeah.
And so we went up to her and we were like, oh, like, hi, like, you have an appointment, whatever. She's like, yeah, are the homeless people gone?
Yeah, it was like so normal for her.
No, but she also seemed like, you know, scared. Like, she didn't want to go up there until they were gone.
I know. Here's the thing, though. It's like most of the time they're just harmless, and it's sad that they're like on these things, but they're just like in their own type of world. But like, we don't know that. We're not used to that kind of.
No, but then there's also times that they're unpredictable.
Yeah. So it is. I was more like, there was a part of me that was like, I don't think we'll get her. Like, I think these people are just harmless, but it is scary in the moment. But then when we were with that woman, because she works there, she's like, okay, no, let's just go. We went up and then she was able to like unlock the door, and she had like all these different like locks on the door.
Yeah. Cause she said one time a homeless person came in and like stole her laptop or something.
So
she's like, that's the worst, that because she was saying like, yeah, like I have all these locks because there was an incident with a homeless person one time. And then I was like, what was that incident?
Yeah.
And then she was like, he came in, or she came in, and just like took my laptop and left.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, okay, like just sucks. But like, as long as they didn't like physically hurt anyone.
I know, because it sucks because like homelessness is so big in LA.
Yeah,
they're just everywhere, and like even when you're in a nice part of town, like they just are everywhere. So
and the homeless people in LA too, they're very in your face.
Well, depends, some of them aren't, some of them can be.
Like every homeless person I saw, well, I shouldn't say every homeless person, but like 95% of the time, like they're going up to you, talking to you. They like, it's in Montreal, you don't have that. And because in Montreal, the weather gets so cold in the winter, you don't see homeless people. They have homes, like they have like these like shelters. Mm-hmm. But in LA, because it's like pretty much warm all year round, they're just everywhere.
It's really sad.
And it is really sad. I have a lot of I feel bad, but it's also really scary. I'm not used to it.
Yeah. I mean, listen, it's not fair to like to judge you for feeling that way, because if you're not around it, you're not exposed to it. Obviously, it's a scary situation.
And also, like, I'm sorry, but when someone is so high on drugs,
like it is scary to be.
They're not in their right mind.
No, they're not. And it is scary to be around, like, especially if you're not around that often. Even if you are around it often, like, it's not fun to be around. So yeah, we're there for. I'm already super fucking anxious over my spotting, and then we're in this situation of like, oh my God, what the hell is going to happen? But then once we were inside,
I was literally mentally prepping myself to like protect you, because I was like, oh my God, she's pregnant. And like, what am I going to do? And I'm like useless. But
you
like,
thought I was like not scared at all.
No. Well, I knew that you were uncomfortable, but like you were definitely more worried about the fact that you were spotted.
Yes, 100%. I think that's was like taking me out of like the reality.
I think at one point I even said like, Alex, are you sure you want to go? Like, are you sure you want to go to this appointment? Because that's how scared I was.
Yeah, I was like, yes.
I really thought we were going to get like,
I don't know. There was a part of me that just like, I knew. I was like, these, they're just harmless. It's scary, but they're harmless. Anyways, we went to the ultrasound clinic and she locked the door like when we're inside. So,
yeah,
you know, we were safe. We felt safe inside. And then she did the ultrasound on me and everything was good. Like there was a heartbeat. I was the first time I saw the baby, and yeah, there was a heartbeat. The baby was in the right place. The sac looked good. Like everything looked good. And I asked
her. Huge relief for you.
Oh my
too.
God. Yeah. I like cried when I heard the heartbeat, and I was like, oh my God, Kyla's the first person to hear it with me.
It was such a nice moment too.
I know.
And seeing how happy and relieved you were, I was like, oh, this makes me want to have a kid right now.
Just like. And then she explained to me, she's like, you know, a lot of women spot throughout their pregnancies, like it can be normal, but like obviously if it's continuing or gets worse, like she kind of explained the same thing. And then
also your spotting, you showed me your spotting that morning before you even booked the appointment, and it was like I could barely even see anything on the toilet paper.
Yeah, but like there was something, and like it was better then when I showed you. When I woke up in the morning, I wiped, there was like more color, like there shouldn't be any color. There should be no pink, no red. See, I don't know anything
about this. So, and I also know that, like, with everything you've gone through, it's so understandable why you would be, like, looking every 2 seconds. And if you see anything, it's like, oh, my God.
I just, like, even, I spotted with Arky at, like, 13 weeks. And I was like, oh, like, no big deal. I saw my OB. Yeah. And she was like, oh, whatever. Like, it was just, I didn't even care.
Now you're more, like, paranoid because you know that it's not so easy to get pregnant.
Yeah. So, for me, I was very just, like, stressed, and I was like, oh, I don't understand. Anyways, spotting went away, then we got back home, then it came back, and then it came back more. Like, I sent you that photo. Like, yeah, it was definitely like
that time I was like, whoa, it's a good thing you're at the hospital.
Yeah, like I went to the ER again. I literally was in my head, I was like, I'm losing this baby, like, that's just what it is. Like, I prepared myself for it. Mom was just at the hospital with dad, like, the day before, and then I felt so guilty, but I'm like, you know what, like, I need to be selfish in this moment. I need my mom because, like, Dan's with Arky. He can't come. So I'm like,
I think I was working that day.
It was also like 5 a.m. So, like, I'm not gonna text you.
Yeah, but I remember you saying, well, there was something, and I was like, fuck, I want to, like, bring her, but, like, there was a reason I couldn't.
Well, regardless, I waited 3 hours to see the doctor, which is not even bad. I was the first person in the ER, and I waited 3 hours, but still, like, people can wait like 17 hours.
Oh, yeah, I know.
So I was like, oh my God, that's not even that bad. So I go in. I'm like, prepared for the worst. The nurse, like, does a bunch of blood tests, and she's like, ask me questions, and she's like rubbing my leg. Like, she's so nice. I'm like, gosh, like, nurses are just angels.
Nurses are like guardian angels in human form in the 3D.
I know, like, it just,
if you're a nurse, like, if I meet someone and they say that they're a nurse, my respect for you, I know, is like through the roof.
She was so nice, but then the doctor himself was really nice. Like, he came in with, like, a little, like, portable ultrasound machine. Like, wasn't, like, the high-tech one. It was just something that he could see. He's like, hi, honey. Like, just lie down. And he was, like, rubbing my shoulder. He was so nice, I guess, because, like, the reason I was in there for. Yeah. Like, and I was, like, so nervous. So he looked, and he's like, oh, strong heartbeat. I'm like, what? He's like, look. Aww. He shows me on the screen. And I see the baby, like, moving around and kicking. Aww. And stuff.
Did he say, oh, yeah, he did tell you why he thought there was.
Well, he was like, look, the sac is good. There's good fluid. He goes, my thought, because obviously I don't know. I'm going to send you for a proper ultrasound right now, like, in the back. He goes, but I think you probably have a small bleed on the outside of the sac, like, on your uterus lining. It could be it's called a subchorionic hematoma or subchorionic bleed. Mm-hmm. He goes, I can't see properly with this ultrasound, so I'm going to send you to the technician. She'll do a more thorough one, and then the radiologist will look over it, and I'll get the results, and we'll go over that. I'm like, okay. He goes, but your baby is, like, alive and well. You can relax.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay. So by then, mom's there, and I go, and I see her, and I'm sitting with her, and I'm like, oh, thank God. Then 2 hours later, I get to see the ultrasound technician, and I lie down, and, like, instantly I'm nervous again.
Okay.
2 hours later, even though I just got confirmation. But, like, the spotting was, like, still there, but it was brown. That was so weird. It was, like, a dark brown.
It's because you're not bleeding enough to, like, actually have your period. No,
it's
because
it's old blood. Brown blood is old blood. It's, like, it's not. Anyways, so I go in, and she starts, like, going around, and I'm like, is there a heartbeat? She goes, yep, there's a heartbeat. Oh, and baby's moving a lot. I'm like, oh, is that a good thing? She's like, yeah, it's a good thing. And then she's like looking everywhere, and I'm like, okay, well, she's like, okay, you're done. I'm gonna send the results to the radiologist. I'm like, well, am I okay? And she's like, well, I can't answer that. And I'm like, what? Which I know they can't tell you these things. Like, the ultrasound technicians are not supposed to say anything. You have to talk to the doctor. But in my head, I was like, you just told me the baby's okay, so you can't tell me I'm okay. And so then I started panicking again. So I'm like, wait a minute, what is going on? Because she looked at my ovaries, she looked at everything, right? So then I go back and sit with mom. I'm like all stressed again, and mom's like, okay, Alex, like, you're gonna be fine, everything's good, baby's good. Like, she just really was there to help me in that moment, because I was spiraling.
Mom is so good in moments like that.
I was spiraling, and poor mom, like, I said this in my video too, but, like, bless her freaking heart, because she just spent 3 weeks with daddy taking care of him like a nurse, then in the hospital with him, dealing with that, then with me,
then with you, and then not only that,
I went straight back to the hospital.
She also had to work in between, like, the minimal time she had to work. And then when dad finally came home from the hospital and like the family came over, she was like, what do you guys want for dinner? Like, I'll cook.
Oh my God, it's insane.
Like, she's just literally, like, the best.
So I felt like so guilty in that moment, but I was like, no, I need my mommy. And anyway, she was so good. And then the doctor called me in and I was like, come with me. Yeah. So she came with me and then he was like, oh, it's what I thought. You have a really small subchorionic bleed. There's not even a hematoma. He's like, it's literally just like, you probably had the clot, like the hematoma in your body, like either reabsorbed it and now it's getting rid of the extra blood. But like, you know, just, I'm going to put you on some pelvic rest. You'll see your OB in a few days and tell her about it, whatever. So it's like, oh my God, the weight lifted off my shoulders. I saw my OB a few days later. She checked. She's like, yeah, this is like, this can happen. She goes, well, keep an eye on it. You know, same thing, pelvic rest. And she put me on progesterone. And then at the 12-week ultrasound, there was not, they couldn't see anything. And the bleeding had stopped, knock on wood. So they were just like, I don't know. I feel like my first trimester, not only did I have like the most intense symptoms of pregnancy, but I also had this, the spotting thing. So my anxiety was just like awful.
Yeah.
But the nausea that I had was like, cause I was nauseous with Arky, but not like this.
I remember you just having more like motion sickness.
Yeah. Like I felt queasy. Like there was definitely times where I felt like I was car sick or something. Yeah. But this time I was like, no, I'm nauseous. Like I could puke, but I can't puke. And it's the worst feeling because I'm, and everything made me gag. Literally, I could not, certain foods, forget it. The smell of the fridge or the garbage or the kitchen. I was like, ugh, I can't smell that. Dan's breath, like he would brush his teeth, scrape his tongue, use Listerine. And I'd be like, don't talk to me. For some reason, it was just him.
Oh my God.
I was like, I literally cannot smell you right now. Like I'm going to throw up.
Oh my God.
And then finally I did start throwing up and that was awful because it's not like when you're sick and you throw up and you feel better. It's like you just still are nauseous.
Yeah.
And so that kind of sucked because then I was like, okay, well, what can I eat? Because eating makes you feel better, but then also can make you feel sick. It's so weird. So I'm like, what can I eat that'll make me feel better, but that will also be easy to throw up that won't hurt? Because it's like,
mm-hmm.
I probably will throw up later. So smoothies were a great thing with protein because I was just like, whatever, if it comes out again. I didn't like throw up like crazy like that many times, but like I still did and I didn't my first pregnancy.
Yeah.
But I also just think the anxiety I was having was making myself like it was making me more sick because having anxiety makes you also nauseous. So it was like all mixed together, the hormones.
I was actually I started feeling like a little bit nauseous the other night and then like it kind of made me like anxious. Which made me feel more nauseous. But then when I like really thought about it, I was like, could I eat something right now? Like, could I snack on something? And I thought about it. And when the answer was yes, I was like, okay, I'm just having anxiety.
Yeah. No, I like literally, but to be honest, and it's just such a weird thing to feel, but I was grateful for the symptoms, even though I was so sick, because I was like, okay, but I'm pregnant.
Yeah.
Like, it makes me happy that I'm having all these symptoms. And I would like check to make sure my boobs were swollen all the time. I would check to make sure there was no blood anytime I wipe. Like, it was just awful. Like, I was just not, I did not enjoy the first part of my pregnancy because of where my mind was. But then as soon as I started feeling better.
It was like clockwork. The day you entered your second trimester, I know. You felt better.
It was so weird. I mean, I still will get bouts of nausea here and there. I'm not going to lie. Like, there still are times if I don't eat a certain amount of hours, like, and that never happened with Arky.
Yeah.
So definitely my hormones this time are more intense and it's like more like crazy. And so throughout my first trimester, I was like, oh, I'm for sure having a girl because like everyone says you're more sick when you have a girl. And then I spoke to mom and she was like, well, I had two completely different pregnancies and I had two girls.
There's a lot of like people like to say, like, what's the term?
It's old wives' tales where they're like,
yeah,
oh, you're like, carrying high, so you're having this, or you're breaking out more, so you're having this.
It's like the same idea as like a stereotype where it's like, okay, maybe like there's a stereotype for a reason, but like it's really not the case all of the time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the same thing with this where I guess people have gathered over time that if you're having a girl, like these are common symptoms, but it doesn't mean,
yeah,
like regardless, at the end of the day you're still growing a human inside your stomach.
Yeah, it doesn't matter if it's a girl or a boy.
And then it also depends on your body.
Yeah, it's, well, and every pregnancy is so different, which is what I've gathered, because even my friend was so sick with both her pregnancies and had two boys.
Yeah.
And then my other friend was literally so fine throughout both her pregnancies and two girls. And then I had another friend that had one of each and both the same exact pregnancy.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, well, then I really was like, well, I have no idea what the...
It's like, you can't waste... You can't obsess and, like, always find answers or, like, get an answer to everything, because at the end of the day, you really don't know. All you know is that you have a healthy baby.
Yeah.
And you're healthy, and that's all that matters.
And I'm, like, so excited for Arky to be a big brother. Like, he literally asks all the time to feel the baby kick and to, like, listen to the heartbeat.
He's so cute.
I know. And he's always like, Mommy, I love the baby.
Oh, my God. We were having dinner the other night, and I was looking at Arkham because I have this obsession of looking at Arkham when he's eating. It's the cutest thing ever. And I just like to think to myself, like, okay, what is he thinking right now? Because he'll, like, look in different places and he sits, then he'll start smiling and, like, playing with his food, but he's not, like, playing with anyone, it's just him. So I'm like, it's just so cute. And, like, so he's doing that, he's, like, looking at Nono, then he sits down, then he starts, like, smiling and, like, eating his food and, like, swirling his spoon in the air. So I'm like, what is he thinking right now? And then he just, like, looks at you and he's like, Mommy, I love you.
I know.
And he's just so cute.
He's so in the moment, and that's what children are, right? Like, yeah. That's what we should strive to be, is like, they're never thinking about the past, they're never thinking about the future. It's like they're just living in the moment.
Yeah.
And just being present. And I mean, obviously, I'm sure there's times where they have memories and they think about stuff from the past, but, like, for the most part, they're just, like, living their life.
I can't wait until, and I've said this so many times, but I just can't wait until he's a little bit older, like 10, 12 years old, maybe even like 8.
Mm-hmm.
And he can, like, fully have a conversation, understand things. He has, like, you know, his memory. Like,
yeah.
Because I think right now Arky doesn't really have, like, the... He doesn't have, like, memories. Like,
yeah, he talks about how we went on an airplane to Florida.
Yeah, but, like, you know when it's, like, it's been time?
Oh, yeah,
you
yeah.
know what I mean? And I could, like, actually... take him, like, places and do activities with him. Like, if he likes hockey,
yeah,
I could take him to hockey games.
Yeah,
or he could come sleep over at my place.
It's gonna be so fun.
And, like, we could go to movies together. Like, I want to have that one-on-one bond,
because
mm-hmm. I'm so not, like,
yeah, you, I think
it's like
this
the
was,
age,
like,
that he's at right now.
I'm not a toddler, like, person.
Yeah, I'm not a, like, I'm not a baby or newborn or toddler person. I'm more of, like, a kid.
Wait, isn't that so weird? Because growing up, you were obsessed with babies.
I don't remember that.
Really?
Yeah.
You always had like such a motherly part to you. Like, you always were interested in the baby.
Well, I'm very nurturing. I really care about people. I love, like,
you always had baby dolls, and, like, you always wanted to, like, see the baby when some, like, if Andreas, when Andreas was born, you'd always ask to go see the baby. I had no interest in babies. Until
See,
I had my
me,
own.
It's more, it's not that I don't have an interest in babies. It's like, I see people that the way they are when there's a baby is like how I am when I see a puppy or a dog or just an animal.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh my God, it, like, melts my heart. I want to go pet them and cuddle them and kiss them. I don't get that with babies and kids so much. But
I don't,
like,
get that with babies either, though, unless it's my own.
But I will still love them.
Yeah.
And, like, want to do things with them. And, like,
I'll never look at another person's baby and be like, oh my God, it's the cutest little baby. Like, I'm like, sometimes I'll look and be like, oh, that's cute. But, like,
there's been very odd times. I could probably even count on one hand in, like, since I've been on this earth.
Yeah.
Where I've actually seen a baby and I thought, holy shit, that baby's cute.
There's definitely cute babies, like, they're cute, they're babies, but I'm like, I'll never feel towards a random person's baby the way I feel towards a random person's puppy.
Yeah, me too.
Like, if I see a random puppy and I'm like, I'm obsessed with you, I love you,
I'll go up to a stranger and be like, can I pet your dog?
Yeah, but I mean, it's a little different to go, can I go up to your...
No, I've done that.
No, but I'm saying it's different if you go up to a stranger and you're like, can I hold your baby? Like, that's random.
I mean,
like, no one would
do
that.
There was one time, I didn't do that, but there was one time, I forget where I was, it was the cutest baby ever, and I was like, I think I was in an elevator, and the baby was, like, looking at me and, like, smiling, and he had the biggest cheeks,
oh,
Alex.
She,
like,
cute.
The Michelin man.
Oh,
this baby was huge and so cute and was like looking at me and like smiling and had no teeth. And
okay, I changed my mind. Babies are cute. When I
and
think
then, about it like that, and like, I, so I was so like cute. Smiling at the baby, and like the mom obviously saw me, so she was like smiling, and I just told her like, I'm not a baby. I literally said this to her. I was like, I'm not a baby person, but like your kid is so cute. Like this you makes me want a kid.
Made her day.
Yeah,
you just made that mom's life.
Like she was like, I know the smile on her face, but I was like, no, seriously, like if that was my baby, I would be obsessed.
But even now when my friends have babies, like I feel uncomfortable holding them because it's not, I never held a newborn until I had my own newborn because I just was not comfortable. And then like even holding other people's babies, I was like, ugh.
I'll never forget when you were still living at Mama and Papa's place before you moved into your place now.
Okay.
And I don't remember where Dan was, but no, you were breastfeeding, and I think Dan was upstairs preparing Arky's bath.
Okay.
And it was during COVID, and you guys were very, like,
strict
with COVID. And it was the first time you asked me if I could hold Arky because you guys couldn't.
Okay.
And so I was holding him, and he was, like, a few months old at this point. This is when he had, like, his big cheeks and, like, that Yeesh. Little, like,
oh, yeah, the piece little of hair
in the front. And I was walking around the dining area, like, just talking to him, showing him all like the paintings on the wall, and he was eating my shoulder and it was so cute. Like drooled down my arm.
Aww. I'm so excited to have another baby.
That's gonna be exciting.
I'm so excited because I feel like this is like us completing our family. Like I always wanted two kids.
You don't want a third?
Well, I always wanted two. Dan always wanted four. This was before we ever had kids.
Yeah.
Then when we had the kid and we realized, okay, this is hard. We're like, okay, definitely two, like for sure. And we'll think about it in the future. But then we just were never getting pregnant. So we were like, okay, we accepted the fact that we were only going to have one.
Yeah.
And we got really comfortable with that idea because we're like, it's so much easier.
Yeah.
You know, one kid for two adults, easy.
Yeah.
It's still going to be easy-ish because there is an age gap. So like by the time the second one is going to be four, which is going to be Arky's age when this baby's born, then it's just going to be like so much easier.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I'm going to have.
Like Arky could help.
Yeah. Like already he's super helpful with his little cousin who was a baby this whole year. And like it's different when the baby is like living in the house 24/7. But like Arky's such a nurturing kid and very helpful on its own.
But he'll probably have moments of like getting jealous.
Oh, but for
it's
sure.
It's so normal.
It's so normal. So anyways, I'm just saying that like I feel like I don't want to write it off the table like, no, we're never going to have another kid because now that I fixed what I think was the issue, you know, I don't want to say like, oh, we're done at two. That's it. I never want to fully say no, but I'm very content if this is it because I've always just wanted to.
Yeah.
But like if it were to happen, let's say on accident, like Dan's not getting a vasectomy. Let's just put it at that. Like I don't want him to get a vasectomy.
Okay.
And I'm not someone who is on birth control. I haven't been since I was 24. So there's other methods to like not have a baby. That's not birth control, obviously.
Yeah.
So we're very aware of my cycle and all that kind of stuff. So I'm like, we can prevent it. But, you know, if it were to happen on accident, we would be very excited. Yeah. It's not something that we'd be like upset over.
Yeah.
But we're very content with two.
Yeah. Kind of I always imagine, at least at this point in my life, I'm like, no, I could see myself having one kid and I feel like I'd be happy with one kid. But like, as we're talking right now, I'm like, oh, but maybe once I have a kid, I'm going to want my kid to have like a sibling to play with and grow up with.
It makes it easier. And I mean, obviously there's people that are only children that are like totally socialized and fine. But like for me, my big thing was if Arky's going to be an only child, I need him to be super socialized because I just want him to have that. But yeah, I just – and he would always ask for a sibling because all of his friends were having siblings.
Okay.
And because I wanted him to have one –
that must have made it so much harder for
you. Because I wanted him to have one. If I didn't – if I only wanted one kid, I wouldn't have cared. I would have been like, okay, well, you're not getting one. Mm-hmm. But like the fact that I wanted one so bad for him and then he really wanted one, I was like, okay, I'm literally letting everyone down.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I feel very good about everything. I'm like very excited for this new chapter. And I feel so excited to have a baby that's not in COVID. That like
Yeah.
I can have a normal postpartum experience where we're not in quarantine for a year and not seeing people.
Yeah.
Like, you bet your ass I'm going to be over this area all the time because me and my best friend are pregnant at the exact same time. We have the same due date.
Amazing.
So, like, her and she lives not far from you. So I'm going to be in this neck of the woods doing stroller walks all the time whenever you're free. If you want to come join us for a walk, I can walk over here.
Yeah,
I'm like, it'll be so fun. So I'm like, I'm just so excited.
I'm happy for you.
Well, that's about it for this episode. We'll just do a little catch up. Oh, and one thing I want to mention too. Everyone thought that like the big announcement we had that I was saying I've been working on for 5 years was my pregnancy announcement. And I'm like,
no, actually, it's something else.
It's something else that's really, really, really big that I have been working on for 5 years. But it's like, I was laughing when people were commenting that, like, I knew your five-year thing was your pregnancy announcement. I'm like, my kid's not even four.
I know.
What do you mean? I've been working on this for five years.
It makes no sense. But no, it's something else.
Yeah. So we don't exactly know the date that we're going to be announcing it.
By the way, just so you guys aren't confused, my sister has been working on this for 5 years. And I've been working on it with her for the last, 2 years?
Yeah.
So it's huge.
Yeah. So we're very, very excited. That will be coming very soon. And we love you and we'll talk to you next week.
Bye, guys.
Bye.